spotlight rallies, workshops, forums, and community actions happening across the region. If you have an event to share, submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of said event in a format that is no longer than a sentence or two on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, at least 2 weeks in advance of your event date. Space is limited, so submissions are considered in the order that they are received. The Social Justice Calendar is yet another way that WPFW connects, engages, and uplifts our community as we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Candy Shannon, and you are tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
And welcome to this hour of We the People right here at WPFW Washington. We're coming to you through 89.3 FM, WPFWFM.org. I'm your host, David Whetstone, but more importantly, I always want to spotlight our guest. We're going to explore the Black culture of Washington, D.C. Our guest is Lori Williamson. She is the founder and chief experience officer for D.C. Tours and Events. She is a certified meeting planner, certified and licensed tour guide, and a member of the Guild of Professional Tour Guides of Washington, D.C. 111 Places in Black Culture in Washington, D.C. is her new book. It's done in collaboration with photographer David Wardrick. And Ms. Williamson is also a proud graduate of Howard University. A little bit of housekeeping. If you're a longtime listener or you've just recently joined us, you're probably well aware that we are entirely listener-supported. That's kept us in existence for more than 47 years, bringing you jazz and justice right here in Washington's own Pacifica Foundation radio station, 50,000 watts strong, reaching you through the terrestrial air and also online, social media platforms, and now on your radio. Please become a member today. I need to exceed raising $500 in this hour that can easily be done by one person, 10 persons, or many, many more persons. You can do that by calling the number 1-800-222-9739. 1-800-222-9739. I thank you in advance. It's listeners like you that have kept us going as we continue the circle. It will be unbroken for more than 47 years. Thank you. Ms. Williamson, so much a good pleasure to have you and counter your new book, 111 Places in Black Culture in Washington, D.C. that you must not miss. Let's just give the listeners the benefit of how I always start out. What started your curiosity and interest in Washington, D.C.? Why did you choose to pursue it? Or choose, rather, still present tense.
Absolutely. First, David, thank you so much for having me on the show and giving me this opportunity to showcase the book. I am originally from New Jersey. However, I have adopted myself. I've made the city of DC adopt me. I came here to attend Howard University. Really had never been here before and really fell in love with this city. And have done a lot of things here, but being a tour guide and networking with other tour guides and talking about stories in the city really made it evident to me that there are a lot of stories that are not told. And if you look in the library for books about just things to do or places that highlight DC, they really don't exist. So it was a combination of several things, but eventually I was just led to say, you know, this is a resource that we really need here.
And tell us a little bit about your photographer partner with the book as well.
Yeah, so my publisher, Emmons, that published this book, they published travel guides around the country, and I met one of the authors, but I asked them to connect me so I could pitch this idea of culture as opposed to just sights to see, and Black culture in particular. It took several months, but they did agree to the idea and they said it's great and we would like to have an African-American photographer as well. So David Wardrick is someone who I previously worked with at one of my jobs, and I didn't know if he'd be interested, but I told him about it, put his name in, and he signed on and he did a fantastic job. Those of you who've seen the book, it's picture, great, easy read, picture, story.
And the pictures are, I want to just categorize the aesthetic since we're on the radio. There's a vivid, vital sense of color to a lot of the photographic treatments, and that really does help. Last week, I was talking about Glen Echo Park and that the amusement park was segregated, and the pictures played a very crucial role in really depicting that. So when people look these things up and follow up, they'll truly have an experience that is very helpful to them. I wanted to also ask you about, you did some time as a volunteer at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. I wonder if you could link your work project now with the book that you produce with that experience. What did you find when you encountered people?
So I'm actually still a volunteer there. I've been so since they opened in 2016. And the biggest thing for me, my own experience, not as a spokesperson for the museum, but is just that people really want to understand the Black experience actually around the world. But particularly with the book, people just want to learn things that they did not learn when they were in school. And I think in recent years, there's been more of an upsurge in locals wanting to explore their own cities and be better connected. And that kind of played into those experiences, and talking to people also played into the reason why I wanted to do this book. Spoke to someone from the DC library who told me that they have ordered the book for each library in DC, which just reconfirmed for me that there's a lack of this kind of information and knowledge here. So I hope to just help connect people more, to give them information they're looking for. And I know that some of the people in the book have gone and reached out to other people. Everyone's learning new things they didn't know about the city. So that makes me feel really good.
And that gives me an occasion to say something in particular, and I think you said it very well. It's not just a bunch of factoids or a quick stop here or a quick stop there. We're talking about centuries-long vitality that's essential to the nation's capital. We're talking about Black culture. I know one listener in advance was a little bit critical of the concept of Black culture, but here's what I would say. Black folk, among many folk, Black and brown, white as or European American, we all have presence in our communities. We all need respect, acknowledgement, and the fact that we participate and contribute one to another. And as a Black person, I am not going to neglect that. You know, it is a source of strength for my people, but for other people as well. So it needs to be clear. We are talking about vital culture, and I'm sure that if I do you rightly and I do justice to my audience, we'll celebrate that. In fact, somewhere you said your aim was to shine a light on important people and stories in Black history, and that you wanted to draw a broader picture. What's that broader picture?
Yeah, really. People here in Washington, a lot tend to, especially if they're from here, tend to stick with their own neighborhoods. And that's been like the most enlightening thing for me, when people will go from one neighborhood to another that they've never even been to before because of something they see in the book. The broad culture is the fact that African-American history is American history. So we're shining a little spotlight on some places, but we are all connected. And I think you said that piece very well. It's to help us connect within our culture, but also to connect other cultures. We're all existing here together. And oh my goodness, his name, Congressman John Lewis, he said once that doesn't matter where you came from, we're all in the same boat now. And I love that. So, you know, again, it's just a way to allow us to kind of look at each other a little more close, get a little more close, understand a little better.
So let's dive in. You gave me the bridge, as they say in the business. You talked about people who are already here, but people who arrive. And if you arrive in Washington, D.C. by train, you encounter Union Station. Who do we find there?
Union Station, this statue that people have, you've ridden Amtrak, you've walked past this statue and may not have realized it. That is A. Philip Randolph, who founded the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. And I understand that now, and for those who know where it is, that it's been moved out into the central area. Have not seen that myself yet. Yes, you've seen that?
Yes, so, I have. And instead of being free in the air, he is in an honorific encasement of glass, and it's statue from the bus level up. I'll let you continue.
So for those who might not know, A. Philip Randolph, at the height of the, in the 50s, that there were 20,000 people, men, this was a job that they could get working as porters. And there was also an affiliated association of women, you know, who were maids as well on the railroads, and their fantastic work helped the success of the railroads. And A. Philip Randolph ran that, and he ran it from a location originally founded in New York, moved to D.C. But he's also instrumental in the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. People may not know that
one of the main organizers, intellectual geniuses that planned the march.
Absolutely, along with Bayard Rustin. And they were fighting for jobs, partnered with Martin Luther King, fighting for freedom and equal rights. And the march came about from their efforts. He was also Randolph advisor to presidents as well, helping to end discrimination in the military.
Namely, Franklin D. Roosevelt and Harry S. Truman, of course.
Truman, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to emphasize and highlight something. I don't want to snatch it away from you, but you mentioned it. I want to reiterate something that's very important. When luxury train travel was at its height in the 20s and going on several decades later, Black men were employed by the George Pullman's Pullman Palace Car Company, and they numbered 20,000 strong. So you have this person who's organized one of the most powerful unions in American history and has left us that legacy. These men worked almost 400 hours a month or 11,000 miles per month. So I just wanted to get that in there. I couldn't help myself.
Yes, absolutely.
You have talked about that you want to focus on people from every walk of life. Like, what are the categories, both of the persons, efforts, and businesses that we're going to talk about?
So we've got included shopkeepers, we've got artists and artisans, we've got a shoe repair location that you must not miss, true to the book's title. We've got restaurants, so just a broad collection. And when I initially started the book, I was like, wow, 111, that sounds like a lot when they actually asked me to do it. Now I have so many places I wasn't able to put in, continuing with those categories and more, just looking forward to the next version. So I wish I could have told it all in this book. Let me also mention that in each story, it's 111 places in Black culture that you must not miss. Each story has a tip, which includes another location that may be tied geographically or thematically, or it might just be one I found and wanted to throw in. So you actually have 222 places to explore.
They call that in New Orleans the lagniappe, the little something extra.
That's right, a little extra.
And since we're talking about it directly, how do people get in touch with you? How do they find out more about all of this?
So the best way is through my website, www.dctoursandevents.com, all spelled out, dctoursandevents.com. Everything, I try to keep everything updated there. That's the best resource.
Okay, and we're diving in. I want to tip off people that, you know, we'll have a pitch and membership break coming up. But if you listen very carefully, I believe in practicing with nothing up my sleeves. We're talking about the Washington, D.C. area. So those folks in Alexandria, Arlington, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, keep your ears open because we're going to mention something that surely will be of your interest. So I mentioned Arlington National Cemetery. There's a section called Section 27. What is that about?
Yeah, so Arlington Cemetery is actually one of my favorite places to visit because it tells the whole story of America within those gates. So Section 27, in its early years, the cemetery was segregated, and many of the soldiers who fought in the Civil War, though, well, there were about 180,000 who fought in the Civil War, but about 1,500 of those are buried there at Arlington in Section 27. And you'll find a military shield along with USCT or USCI for either troops or infantry on those graves. But in addition, there are several thousand
people. I'm sorry, United States Colored Troops.
Yes.
Or, yes, go ahead.
Or United States Colored Infantry. So it would have an I, either an I or a T at the end. There are also Medal of Honor winners there. And there's about 3,000 people who are labeled as contraband. People who would have been escaping to freedom and surrounding, going wherever there were Union troops for protection. So there are about 3,000 of those people buried there. The graves will often say just civilian or citizen on them, not having records of who those people were in particular. But yeah, that's a very, very historic and very interesting place to visit just to pay homage. And I think we should visit these places to pay homage.
All right. So we covered a historical site. We've covered a historical person. And we're going to find out more, but I want to just do the housekeeping, which is so necessary, so we can continue to enjoy your rich offering. Sitaria Joyner, our development director, is joining me with this show today. And Sitaria, I haven't seen the tally sheet move. Can you give us an update and talk to us about the reasons why people should support WPFW?
Well, we the people this hour, our goal is $500. We don't have anyone to thank right now, but I know the listeners, they're going to fill it up, David. I'm positive. And yeah. I'm positive because you bring such a quality show each and every week. We get wonderful information. You yourself have a well of information that you provide the audience, as well as the people you interview. You always have something that is relevant and pertinent to the day. So thank you for that. And I know your listeners really appreciate it as well. So we're asking them to show their appreciation and make a donation. Give us a call at 1-800-222-9739. Or visit us on our website at wpfwfm.org and just show WPFW and We the People the love for the wonderful programming you hear each and every Wednesday. You know, it's a very different show. It's different from a lot of the shows on WPFW in its focus. And I really enjoy it each week. And I ask that you who are out there listening, I know
we're back. WPFW is excited to announce the return of the Social Justice Calendar, your go-to weekly update on the latest events, actions, and initiatives promoting equity, justice, and change across our community. The calendar's mission is to connect you with the heartbeat of grassroots activism in the DMV. Each week, we'll spotlight rallies, workshops, forums, and community actions happening across the region. If you have an event to share, submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of said event in a format that is no longer than a sentence or two on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, at least 2 weeks in advance of your event date. Space is limited, so submissions are considered in the order that they are received. The Social Justice Calendar is yet another way that WPFW connects, engages, and uplifts our community as we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Oh, we're back. And I was giving you reasons why to support the station. I don't want to distract from our topic, but we've been experiencing technical difficulties due to cyber attacks. And so we need you to be present with us, not only support us financially, but socially. Again, you can do that by calling 1-800-222-9739, 1-800-222-9739. Online, click the bright red donate button at wpfwfm.org. And if you use Cash App, it's $WPFWFM. Identify this show so I can raise my goal. And before we get back to our discussion, I want to just shout out to an anonymous donor in Upper Marlboro. And thank you for your note. And thank you for your support. It really makes a difference.
And Anonymous went to our website to make a donation at wpfwfm.org. So thanks, Anonymous.
And Satari, let me say this. You often want to encourage people to become sustaining members by giving a regular amount each and every month. It can be small or it can be great. Some people are with means, some people are struggling like yours truly, but we do the best we can, and that's what's appreciated.
Oh, yes.
So let's get back to Ms. Williamson, and we'll discuss more of Black culture in Washington, D.C., and thank you, Satoria.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to the rest of the show.
Thank you. So as I was saying before our break, Ms. Williamson, first of all, thank you for being with us. We've discussed an important person and an important place. Part of our culture is that of business and entrepreneurial enterprise. Can you tell us what the art of noise with a Z is? Where is it and what does it do?
Yeah, absolutely. The Art of Noise is a performance space, and it's run by Adrian Ferguson. He's the owner in the kind of Petworth area. And he knows how expensive it is for artists to try to put on performances, have a place to perform. So he started Art of Noise with that in mind. So he's always got poets, musicians, all types of events happening featuring local artists and art exhibits that are on the wall, art that you can view and purchase. Is also a part of what he does and is pretty much there at all times. So even if there's not a performance, you can go in and take a look at the art. It's a nice intimate space, really cool. Check out their website and you can see all the events that are coming up. He currently has an exhibition from a young lady she's a photographer and somehow she is able to capture music within her photography. So that should be very interesting.
Well,
you asked me.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Art of Noise, very uniquely named. Ferguson, I just wanted to mention, he calls the noise music, spoken word, and acting. So for him, the noise is the performances and the culture that he's bringing. So very clever and very cool place to check out.
Yeah, and therefore the Z, just to line it out for people, the Art of Noise, N-O-I-Z-E.
Yes.
You talk about that was a private intimate space, but DC people do stuff out in the open. We have a false reputation of not being out in the open. Let's change that. And I think the way we change that is to recognize that DC has an official dance for the District of Columbia. Can you tell us what that official dance is? And where is it done?
Yeah. Yes. The official dance of Washington, D.C., drum roll, it's called hand dancing, D.C. hand dancing. And when I speak to people not from the area or who really aren't familiar, they always start doing gestures with their hands. That is not it. It's not the Macarena. It was derived from the Lindy Hop, which was developed by African Americans in New York. So it's a form of swing dancing. So if you think of swing dancing, that's basically what hand dancing looks like. And people, natives here in DC, grew up doing it and calling it either hand dancing or fast dancing. And there were a lot of especially 70s, 80s, well, 80s and before. And earlier, a lot of places where people, clubs devoted to hand dancing, where people hand dance throughout the district. For the most part now, it's in Maryland. A lot of times with people who grew up doing it. However, in DC, outside on Freedom Plaza, if you know where that is, just blocks from the White House, on Wednesdays. In the nice weather, when the weather's nice, starting I think in about June, hand dancing is done outside on the plaza. And there were many nights I was working and I came out off of an event or something. And I'm like, what's that music? And it would be dark outside. And I finally found out what it was. So they are continuing that tradition and anyone is welcome. You hear the music, people gravitate over there, bring a chair or just find a place to sit or join in and try to learn some hand dancing. Lots of line dancing too.
Yeah, and you mentioned Freedom Plaza across from the seat of DC government. So people know how to have fun and purpose. They're not contrary. You know, since we're talking about open spaces, let's stick with that for a second. Where's Chuck Brown Memorial Park and what will we find there?
So Chuck Brown Memorial Park is, and it's really, what you'll find there is a nice, just nice, kind of calm, quiet urban park. Has some great things for little kids to climb on and so forth, but they're at 20th and Franklin Northeast. And let me just pop in here that 111 places in Black culture you must not miss. The goal was to travel all quadrants of the city. So you will find places in every area that you can visit. But DC, I mean, Chuck Brown is the father of go-go, which was developed here in DC. And I could not write this book without having at least one place that mentioned that. And so since the park is dedicated to Chuck Brown, I've included it. So again, just a nice place to go, have a short walk, or take the kids to play. And hopefully in the future, we'll have a full-blown go-go museum, which I'll be able to add into a future version.
We must honor go-go.
Absolutely.
We're still sticking with the great outdoors. And if you don't mind, and by the way, let me just thank you emphatically for just rolling with this. Any human being would not have hundreds of places in their head to recall with such vivid stories. So thank you. Button Farm. What is Button Farm?
And what is Button Farm. And as David mentioned, there are a few places. They let me sneak a little bit out of DC to go into Maryland, Virginia. Button Farm is somewhere I think everyone should visit. Now, you're probably going to need a car to get there. It's in Montgomery County. But it's called the Button Farm Living History Center. And there, Tony Cohen tries to preserve the legacy of the Underground Railroad. And he recreates life in 19th century plantation life. So he's got live animals. He's growing foods that you would have found at that time and doing a lot of interpretation of life during the 1800s. And specifically, there's a great opportunity to visit Button Farm this Saturday, October 26th. They are having their yearly Emancipation Day celebration, which commemorates the end of slavery in Maryland about 6 months before the Emancipation Proclamation. So self-guided tours, music, lots of things going on. They have a cemetery there, which they believe has formerly enslaved people buried there. But they will have a lot going on. Check their website. Again, it's Button Farm. And very cool fact about this place. When Oprah Winfrey was getting ready for her movie, Beloved, she actually called on Tony Cohen to recreate what it was to be an enslaved person escaping on the Underground Railroad. And he created that whole scene for her. So that was a pretty unique and extraordinary experience that he did. But if you want to really learn about life at this time and have some fun, check out Button Farm this weekend.
Well, again, you've given me another bridge, another link. Is this in the vicinity of the Josiah Hansen Museum and Park, or not far from it?
Yes. Yes, it's not too far. It's still a little ways up, but also in Montgomery County, the Josiah Hansen Park. And Josiah Hansen Park also, it's North Gaithersburg, also a place that you should visit. It has the remains of a plantation. So you've heard of this book called Uncle Tom's Cabin. Well, there was a real man behind that story named Josiah Hansen. Very good and honorable man, born enslaved. And he wrote his own autobiography. And Harriet Beecher Stowe was inspired by his biography to write Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is supposed to be about a good person in Josiah Hansen, and the person in her book is called Tom. So racism of the day and minstrel shows and so forth turned that character into a negative character. So we've heard that term Uncle Tom in a negative light, but the person behind it, by no means a negative character, someone
a person
very,
of virtue and integrity.
Yes, bursting with integrity.
Yeah,
so they interpret his life there. Yes.
No, I'm sorry. all I was going to say is misinformation was going on centuries ago. It goes on.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Keeping on point, and we're still in the outdoors. I want to do a twofer here. The Mount Zion Cemetery is associated with a group that's known by the initials FUBS. And then also elsewhere in your book, you mentioned the Colombian
Harmony. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Well, I'll mention what David was just talking about was the Mount Zion FUBS cemeteries. Those are in Georgetown. So Georgetown's a very old, the oldest community in DC, founded in 1751. And Mount Zion Cemetery was formerly the old Methodist burying ground, one of the oldest Methodist congregations in the world, and known today as Dumbarton UMC. So Black and white deceased parishioners were buried here. But in 1816, there were about 125 Black members who were tired of experiencing racism in the church who left to form Mount Zion United Methodist Church. And then the cemetery land gets a little confusing, but was leased to them. So this cemetery, some of the parishioners, some of the white parishioners were actually not happy that land was leased to the Black parishioners for a cemetery. So they had their families disinterred and put in nearby Oak Hill Cemetery. So, and then this FUBS, that's the Female Union Band Society, Female Union Band Society, a benevolent association of free Black women who bought the property adjacent to Mount Zion, which has the Black parishioners in it. So now these two together. It's a small cemetery, about 3 acres, but what exists in that space too is a kind of a mausoleum that is believed to have housed people who were escaping on the Underground Railroad. So pretty historic, and it's been undergoing a lot of renovations, but it is open and a place that you can visit. And David may have been going to Colombian Harmony Cemetery, also outdoors, and a kind of along that same theme of cemetery. And again, I believe we should just go to these places to pay homage. Colombian Harmony Cemetery actually existed where the Rhode Island Avenue Metro is now. And a developer who bought the land in about, I think it was 1960, was having all of the bodies at Colombian Harmony Cemetery moved to Landover, Maryland. And that's where they exist today. That was 37,000 bodies. And it was found out later that not all of the bodies were moved. So there very well may be some at the Metro, but the Metro station has 2 plaques that commemorate what happened there. And so a lot of interesting history around that site as well. So if you are in the Maryland area, you can go to National Harmony Cemetery and just, you know, pay homage there. But you can certainly, in your travels through the Rhode Island Avenue Metro, just make a point to look out for those plaques that are there. One is on a wall, one is on the ground, at least 2 exist there. And also, just on the theme of cemeteries, since we're there, I'll just mention Congressional Cemetery. Very neat cemetery to visit, but Alain Leroy Locke, if you know his name, he was a philosopher, educator, and a key figure. They call him the Dean of the Harlem Renaissance. He's actually buried in Congressional Cemetery. He was also the first African-American
Rhodes Scholar.
Mm-hmm. And Congressional Cemetery, they offer all kinds of programs and tours throughout the year. And some people may think it's a little unusual to visit a cemetery if that's not something you typically do. But I think that the programs that they put on actually help people to come to grips and just with the term, with death, because it's something we don't talk about a lot. But then also they have self-guided tours. You go through the gate, they have a kiosk that has tours on all types of themes, all types of nationalities, cultures. One is African-American, and you can do your own walking tour. But that is a place where there are several notable African-Americans buried, including former Mayor for Life of D.C., Miriam Barry.
Yes, let's honor him. Listeners, you're listening to We the People right here at WPFW 89.3 FM, WPFWFM.org, and through various social media platforms like Google Play Music, iTunes, and such. You can hear this and other programs in our archives. Either go to our website, which I mentioned earlier, WPFWFM.org, or avail yourself of the social media platforms that each programmer will usually say on their show. For instance, Africa Now, with host Muiza Mutale and producer James Pope. Stories of African descended people, not only in the continent, but throughout the world, covering a great number of issues like this show about history, politics, culture, environment, and such. That's 1 p.m. on Wednesdays here at WPFW. And Satori Joyner, I ask you to join me because we have some good news. As
yes.
People are supporting the station at 1-800-222-9739.
Definitely. We've got a lot of people to thank. We want to keep thanking Anonymous because that's a huge family of supporters at WPFW. Went online, says they're new to We the People, but they're really enjoying the program. We got Peter in Washington, D.C. that says, keep on being the best station in the DMV. Well, you know, David and I, we have a biased opinion, but thank you so much. And, we got Hazina, who has been both a volunteer and a longtime a member of WPFW. Thanks you, David, for the program, says you always produce great topics. And we've got a David in Upper Marlboro. Now, we've got four people who have made donations, and they've all done them through our website at WPFWFM.org. So we want to invite you all to continue to do the same thing and go to WPFWFM.org or give us a call at 1-800-222-9739. And as David mentioned before, Cash App, we try and make it easy and quick for you. Go to Cash App. You've already got your smartphone in your hand. And that is $WPFWFM. But we're still looking towards you to make your donation. We'd like to get 5 new members this hour. We haven't got any new members. So if you've been listening for years and you've been, thinking you were going to donate and want to, now is the time. WPFW needs you. 1-800-222-9739.
Well, responding to that need, I want to thank Kathleen of Washington, D.C. also. Satara, before you go, how much further do we have to go, or what's a good word here at this point?
Well, in order to meet our goal this hour, we've got $185 to go. Now, as far as the drive is concerned, our overall drive goal was $300,000. We have $84,000 at this point. So we need, $216,000 to go to meet our goal for this drive. We've got about a week and a half left to go to make it. But David is definitely doing his part. You out there listening are doing your part.
More important than listeners are doing their part. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Satoria. And stepping on your lines here, forgive me. But you're being very modest and very kind. WPFW has a staff of 10 and many, many volunteers like yours truly. Your money goes to paying an electric bill, paying the rent, making sure that we're in technical compliance, and that with our technology, which just seems to be getting attacked. I don't like to emphasize the negative on the show, but we really do need your help, your presence, as well as your financial wherewithal. We know that many of you are just making your way in this world, and we want to build a better world one broadcast at a time. Again, the number is 1-800-222-9739. And we have about less than 6 minutes to go. And I want to give Ms. Lori Williamson, the founder and chief experience officer for DC Tours and Events, and the fact that we're focusing on Black culture in Washington, D.C., the last words. Ms. Williamson, again, thank you. Let's do something that I think reflects a youth focus. I want to quickly mention some enterprises and efforts, and you can add accordingly. So we'll go on a little bit of a faster track. We mentioned during the show that even cares of shoes and shoemaking is important. There's something called the Peter Bug Shoe Academy. What in the world is that? And give us some good feelings about that effort.
Yes, Peter Bug Matthews is just an icon in DC. He is a native to DC. His shop is in Southeast, and what he does is repair shoes and bags and things of that nature. So instead of throwing things away, that's someone who's helping to make sure we can keep hold of the things we spend so much money on these days. He is an inspiration in that he helps other young men to learn this trade, which there are so few still doing that. I don't know where you can even find another shoe shop in Washington.
Yeah, you have to look far
but
and wide.
But he is truly an... Well, I'm sorry, David.
I said you have to look far and wide. Yes.
Yes, truly an inspiration. And he's in Southeast, kind of the Capitol Hill area, and he's got his shop. And I was with him one day sitting outside because they were doing work on the inside. And I think every person who walked by either knew him or he knew them, names of their pets, everything. And I told him, I'm going to call you the king of E Street because he holds court there. So if he's not outside, but his door is open, feel free to just walk up there and say, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. Or take, better yet, take something to be fixed by him.
Well, speaking of doors being open and being in neighborhoods, you highlight the Lady Clipper Barbershop. Tell us about them.
Yes, Lady Clipper Barbershop. She's right down on U Street, about 15th and U. And she is someone who never saw herself as becoming a barber, but born in Trinidad, but raised in DC. She has a barbershop that she has staffed with all lady barbers, and they do a phenomenal job. She was actually on the Kelly Clarkson show, and Kelly Clarkson told her she had never even seen a business like that. But she is doing great, and another place we probably pass every day. But stop in and check out the services offered by Lady Clipper, full service barbershop.
Let me see if we can just squeeze in a little bit more. We're really running down on our time here with about 4 minutes to go. But I'll mention the Urban Arts Collective, and Rollaway Productions was also mentioned in your book.
Right. And Elements Urban Art Collective, they provide dance classes and training for kindergarten up to, I believe, 18 years old, and which is a great form of exercise and empowerment. And Alana Hill, who runs that, actually, when she was young, was told that she wanted to take a ballet class, and she was told that her body was not geared towards ballet. So she was struggling to have a dance career without having the benefit of ballet in it. But she said she felt such a way that she never wanted another child to experience that. And she wanted to let them know you can do anything you put your mind to. So she's doing great things there at Elements Urban Arts Collective. And Rollaway Productions, we have a man, Kenneth Rollo Davis, who's an Apple certified skate legend. There's a movie, he's written a book, but he does quad skating. So you grew up knowing that as four wheels as opposed to inline skates that they use today. So they have roller skating classes that are really popular for all ages. So please check them out. And that's a great way to fit in a different type of exercise into your plan.
And where are they located?
So they are teaching, I have to check out, they actually moved during the process of this book. They were in Suitland, and I think they actually teach at a couple different places.
Okay.
I'm looking that up right now.
Well,
but they
just, let's just spell it out and people can look it up. Our listeners can look it up. R-O-L-L.
Branch Avenue, Temple Hills.
Okay, Branch Avenue, Temple Hill, Rollaway Productions, R-O-L-L-O-W-A-Y.
Yes.
So I'm glad we embraced the whole area. And I want to give you the last word on how you want people to enjoy Black culture of Washington, D.C. And the future is bright when we take time to really partake of our history and culture.
And you really said it. That's it. Get out and visit these places. I want you to buy the book. It's 111 places in Black culture in Washington, D.C. that you must not miss. Go to my website, dctoursandevents.com, for information. I also sell copies through there, but it should be available anywhere books are sold. It's at National Airport. It's at the Museum of African American History and Culture. And I will next be appearing in person at the Black Author Expo in Suitland, Maryland on November 2nd, Saturday, from 11 to 3, and then at the new Barnes & Noble in Georgetown, Saturday, November 16th from 12 to 3. And again, all this information will remain updated on my website.
Well, Lori Williamson, I really thank you for helping us celebrate Washington, D.C., celebrate the DMV area, and most importantly, celebrating ourselves, our communities, and the people from all walks of life that really do make our lives better for it. It's a sense of empowerment that I'm grateful for.
It is my pleasure. Thank you, David.
Thank you for,
I really enjoyed the time today.
Yes.
Okay, have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, take good care. Folks, we've come to the end of the hour, but it's not too late to support WPFW. When I last looked at the tally, we had about $185 to go. Even as a program goes off the air, you can donate by telling the person that answers the phone at 1-800-222-9739, 1-800-222-9739, that you want to donate to WPFW. You want to support us doing 47 years, a circle that is unbroken. And you can do that also online at wpfwfm.org. Click that bright red donate button. Identify either this program or a program that you're listening to. Please do the same with Cash App at $WPFW. I thank you for sticking with us. Most importantly, everyone has a crucial role to play in supporting one another. That will get me to thanking Mike Nasella, my engineer for the hour. As you see, he smoothly brought us through technical twists and turns, and for that, I greatly appreciate him. Appreciate the News and Public Affairs Department supporting this show and other shows on the station. 5 minutes before the hour, the news comes up. Right after that, at 1 p.m., the Wednesday edition of Don't Forget the Blues with Clarence the Blues Manturna. We proceed with Africa Now at 1 p.m., 2 p.m., Shea Wanana with Zen El Amin. Middle Eastern Affairs are covered on his program. And 3 to 5, Sophie's Parlor. Music and culture by women, but for everyone. Those are the things you are supporting, again, by becoming a member at 1-800-222-9739. Perhaps we'll meet again on the radio, and I thank you. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Right. We want to make sure that we give out the number just one more time, and that's 1-800-222-9739. Thank you so much, David, for having me with you this morning.
Thank you for joining us, Sataria, and thank you for supporting.
Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnested. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says there's evidence North Korea sent troops to Russia. South Korea's spy chief told lawmakers today 3,000 North Korean troops are in Russia receiving training on drones and other equipment before being deployed to battlefields in Ukraine. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky last night said Ukrainian military intelligence has information potentially two brigades of 6,000 people each from North Korea are being trained in Russia. While the estimated number of troops vary, Ukraine and its allies are now in agreement North Korea is aiding Russia's war, a move the State Department has said would be reckless and dangerous. More from FSN's Megumi Lim in Kiev.
Ukraine's military intelligence chief Kirilo Budanov said as many as 2,600 North Korean soldiers would be deployed to the Kursk region. He said troops were expected to arrive on October 23rd. Budanov has warned that around 10,000 North Korean soldiers will likely join Russia's army in the coming months. That would be the first time since the Korean War 70 years ago that the North Korean army would be involved in military action. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
Britain and Germany say they'll sign a defense pact to counter what they say is Russia's growing threat in the region today. Officials say German submarine hunting planes will patrol the North Atlantic from a base in Scotland. Under the deal, the two countries say they'll also cooperate to prioritize developing long-range strike weapons that could travel further than the UK's Storm Shadow missiles. The World Health Organization says it's suspending a third phase of a polio vaccination campaign in northern Gaza that was set to begin today due to escalating violence, intense bombardment, mass displacement orders, and a lack of assured humanitarian pauses across most of northern Gaza. This said in a statement, the final phase aimed to vaccinate more than 119,000 Palestinian children across northern Gaza. A statement from the WHO said the conditions, including ongoing attacks on civilian infrastructure, continue to jeopardize people's safety and movement, making it impossible for families to safely bring their children for vaccination and health workers to operate. Polio was detected in a baby earlier this year in Gaza, the first case in decades. The baby was paralyzed. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Israel needs to pursue an enduring success strategy in Gaza after its victory against Hamas and urged it to seek a deal that would end the war and bring back dozens of hostages. He spoke before traveling from Israel to Saudi Arabia, where he's landed. It's his 11th visit to the region since the war began. He also said he opposed Israeli resettlements of Gaza. This after reports senior Israeli leaders are calling for resettlements.
We reject any Israeli reoccupation of Gaza. I said so in Tokyo a year ago. It's been U.S. policy. It will remain U.S. policy. And it's also, to the best of my understanding, the policy of the Israeli government. That's what I heard from the Prime Minister, who is the authoritative word on these things. So whatever they say, whether it's retired generals or some members of the government, that is not the policy of the government, and it is certainly not the policy of the United States. We reject it. Right now, the focus needs to be on getting the hostages home, ending this war, and having a clear plan for what follows.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. The United Nations Conference on Trade and Development said in a report, if the war in Gaza ends tomorrow, it could take 350 years for its battered economy to return to its precarious pre-war level. The Gaza Strip had been under an Israeli blockade for more than a decade. The war has caused staggering destruction across the territory, with entire neighborhoods obliterated and roads and critical infrastructure in ruins. Mountains of rubble laced with decomposing bodies and unexploded ordnances would have to be cleared before rebuilding could even begin. A federal judge has ordered former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani to turn over his New York City apartment and other assets to two Georgia election workers who won a $148 million defamation judgment against him. Ruby Freeman and her daughter, Wanda Shea Moss, won a lawsuit over Giuliani's false ballot fraud claims against them during the 2020 presidential election. The two women faced threats and abuse from Trump.